Okay, where can we, Okay, Rabosai. Let's see where we're up to on Daf Lamed Hey of an Aleph. And we're up to the sugya of Rabba and Reish Lakish. So let's see if we can find the place. Omar Rabba Barachana, Omar Reish Lakish. I say it's about 10 lines up from the bottom of the page. Maybe a little bit more. The first word in the line is Bar. Omar Rabba Barachana, Omar Reish Lakish. Isa shenilosha biyayin v'shemen udvash ein chayovin alchimutza kores. So let's see what we can figure out over here. If you take a look at Rashi, three lines up from the bottom, Rashi said d'lo nasan ba mayin. So he has flour, and instead of adding water, he adds one of these meperos. He adds either wine or oil or honey. And the question here is whether or not this will cause chimutz. As we said last week, chimutz, which literally means fermentation, is a halachic concept. It's not exactly a reality. You could look at the two scholars, you know, could look, the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, for example, we had last week, could look at the same reality and come to two different conclusions. So we spoke about, for example, Orez or Dochan, and he grinds down flour and he makes a rice and he makes a kind of a rice flour from it. And he makes something that may look like a bread, so the Chachamim say that's not considered chimutz. And Rav Yochanan ben Nuri looks at the same reality and he says, no, that's considered chimutz. I'm using this as a mashal because here also, I think we're seeing something similar here, that you are kneading a dough with wine or oil or honey, and there is some element of chimutz, perhaps, but Reish Lakish says that's not a serious chimutz. Now let's be medayik from the language of the Gemara. It says ein chayovim al chimutzo kares, and it sounds like what we're saying is that there's no chiv kares. Now why do I emphasize that? We have a concept called chametz nuksha. Do you remember that? We spoke about it once. Chitikur denaisa. And we said that in the case of chametz nuksha, because it's not a normal tasty piece of chametz, it's not a full bread, then although it's asur on Pesach, but it's not a chiv kares. Meaning we have three categories now. We have two extreme categories, that which is matzah, and on the other hand, that which is chametz and generates a chiv kares. And somewhere in between, vacillating down the middle, it's not here and it's not there, and it's called chametz nuksha, or in this case perhaps, that's what I'm suggesting according to Reish Lakish, this case of Isa Shenilosha b'shemen or b'yayin or b'dvash, it's not chametz in the full sense, but it is chametz. You know, it's a partial shem chametz. An incomplete shame chametz. You know, we like everything to be the black or white. Here we have something in the gray area. Oh, Dilma, perhaps Reish Lakish is really, when he says ein chayovin al chimutz ekaris, maybe he just simply means it's not chametz at all. Which would mean that you're allowed to eat it, at least on a Doraisa level. I don't know. I'm more inclined to think that there is some element of chimutz here, but ein chayovim al chimutz ekaris, it's not a full-fledged chimutz, and therefore it's not chametz gomor, we would say. Now the Gemara tells the following: Yosef Rav Papa Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua Kamei d'Rav Idi bar Ovin. So it seems like Rav Pop and Rav Huna were Talmidim, and the Rebbe was Rav Idi bar Ovin. Now let's assume that the Rebbe was very involved in learning, and he stayed up quite late at night, so he would doze off. So that's what the Gemara tells us, that v'kaminamneim, and he, Rav Idi bar Ovin, was kind of, menamneim means he was awake, but he was asleep.
Dozing.
Right, he was in that state of nim v'lo nim v'tir v'lo tir, remember? Where if you called his name, he would immediately wake up. So he was listening to something, but he wasn't awake enough to be an active member of the conversation.
What does the Gemara need to tell us?
Because the Gemara is going to tell us that as soon as he was able to respond to them, he immediately lashed out at them. You know, and he basically told them that they took advantage of the fact that he was dozing off, and they said things that they shouldn't have said. That's what I think. I think I once told you, I have a student who claims, I mean, to me this is like, the human mind is just mind-boggling. He volunteers for Hatzolah, and when he has to keep a radio, it's not exactly a radio, but a walkie-talkie of some sort of on, and he has a number. And when they call his number, he's on duty, maybe because the accident happened near him or whatever it might be. And he sleeps through the night, and when he hears his number, he wakes up. Like, imagine the human mind. They're calling out numbers the whole night, and he doesn't hear at all. But when they call his number, he wakes up. That's like nim v'lo nim. So apparently they touched the wrong button here, and all of a sudden Rav Idi bar Ovin woke up, and he said, listen guys, you don't know what you're talking about. So now the Gemara is going to record the conversation between these two Talmid Chachamim who are sitting at the feet of their Rebbe Rav Idi, that's Rav Papa and Rav Huna. Amalei Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yishul Rav Papa. In the light of this statement that we just learned from Reish Lakish, that if you mix the dough, if you mix the flour with Yayin, Shemen, and Dvash, so it's not chimutz. My time with Reish Lakish. What's the reasoning of Reish Lakish? So I told you that the reasoning of Reish Lakish is that it's not going to really rise. You know, it doesn't ferment in the normal way that a bread is made. But that's not what the Gemara is exactly going to say until Rav Idi wakes up from his state of nim v'lo nim. Amalei Rav Papa says to Rav Huna, the Amar Kra. Okay, now let's just take a little bit of a break over here for a second, and let's go back on what we know. What we know is the following: the Torah presents both chametz and matzah in the same pasuk, and that creates what we call a hekesh. And the Gemara, until this point, made the following derivation from that hekesh: that anything that could come lidei chimutz, if you leave it long enough, is kosher lematzah if you arrest the process of fermentation. But if you have something that couldn't become chametz, then it can't become matzah. It can never qualify as matzah. So for example, the Chachamim say that orez, rice, even if you were to grind it and make some sort of flour and add water, you would not be able to create chametz. Hence, you cannot be yotze the mitzvah of matzah with a rice matzah. Now what the Gemara is going to do, because there's a principle called Ein Hekesh Lemechza, and the Gemara is going to tell us that this equation between matzah and chametz is in both directions. Which means that if something cannot qualify as matzah, then it can't be chametz. And that's how Rav Papa is going to explain Reish Lakish. That when you make matzah out of oil or wine or honey, these kinds of fruit juices, then it cannot be used for matzah. And that, therefore, Reish Lakish derived the conclusion, hence it cannot be chametz. You see, so until now, we're going in the direction that which is not is not roi lios chametz cannot be matzah. Now we're saying if it's not roi lios matzah for the mitzvah matzah, then it cannot become chametz. The Amar Kra, the Pasuk says.
So we're not eating. So if Ashkenazim eat rice, we're not eating chametz. We're not eating chametz.
Well, we paskin like the Chacham against Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and therefore you cannot make chametz from rice. But we're going to avoid rice because because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that you could make bread from rice.
Oh, he says you can make bread.
Correct.
Can you or can't you?
So that's what I'm telling you. It's a halachic concept of chimutz. I can't give you biological definitions of fermentation, chemical definition. A chemist might say, this is called fermentation, this is not. But the halachist looks at it a little differently. And he says that chametz is already, it's not matzah, it's in that limbo state. It's, you know, between the two polar extremes. And that qualifies as chametz. That's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. We don't accept Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. But we will machmir for Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the Ashkenazim at least, and we try to avoid rice. Because rice could be chametz gomer according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Okay, then? Lo sochal olav chametz. I'm going to read the end of the pasuk. Shivas yamim tochal olav matzos. So we have a hekish now between chametz and matzah. But now we're taking the other direction. Dvarim sha'odam yotzim hem yidei chovosu b'matzah, chayovim al chimutzo karetz. When are you going to be chayav for chametz? That's only if this could have possibly been matzah, for the mitzvah of matzah. V'ha, but this case of Reish Lakish, where he makes matzah with wine, or with oil, or dvash, I'm adding the word matzah here. And the reason for that is because the havile matzah ashira, okay, we'll soon see what matzah ashira is all about, is therefore ein chayoven al chimutzei karetz. So if you have a mixture of flour plus whatever it might be, and that whatever might be is not water, because Rashi says there's no water in the mixture, but you have fruit juices, is then in such a case it cannot qualify as matzah because it's called matzah shira. The Torah describes matzah as what? As lechem oni. Lechem oni is the opposite of matzah shira. And the rich man's bread, so to speak, is made of oils and honeys, and then now they have great matzahs. Have you seen it? Great matzah. The great matzah might be kosher in Pesach, but it's not royal in mitzvah. You know, if you ever see something that says great matzah shmura, then send it back to the seller. There's no such thing as great matzah shmura. Matzah shmura means that it's for the sake of the mitzvah, but it can't be for the sake of the mitzvah if it's got yayin in it. Why? Because that makes it into matzah ashira. You know, on Erev Pesach, we don't eat matzah. Some poskim allow, not all, matzah ashira. So if you want to buy great matzahs, right, that could be great, great, great matzahs for Erev Pesach. But it's not going to help you on the night of the Seder. Now, what happens if you know, the night of the Seder, if you have nothing but great matzahs, that's all you have. So my humble opinion would be that you should eat the great matzahs, but don't make the bracha al achilas matzah, just make the bracha motzi lechem in aretz. You know, so you could be koveh suda matzah shira. And that's important. On the night of Pesach, we want to be koveh suda for a number of reasons. Some hold in the night of the Seder v'chayim in the midst of lechem mishnah, like any other yontif. That's not the Rambam Shita, but there are many Rishonim who require Lechem Mishnah with Machmir for that. So if you don't have any matzah for the mitzvah, at least get matzah for the Lechem Mishnah. And not only that, it could be that the Seuda on the night of Pesach has its own status. It's a kiyum unto itself. Like, for example, if you look at the Simonim, one of the Simonim is called Shulchan Aruch. I mean, what's that doing there? I mean, just to make a break, you know, he tells you, hey, now's the time to eat your meal. No. Shulchan Aruch is a cue. In fact, the Rambam recommends Heseva during the meal. And my Rebbe used to say that the mitzvah Dalet Kosos is to drink Kosos Shel Seuda, that there's a sort of a framework called the Seuda, and then during the course of that Seuda, we drink at least two of the four Kosos. Go ahead, David.
If the reason the matzah is invalid with fruit juices is because a poor person couldn't afford the wine or the honey, etc., then the issue of fermentation is not really an issue in making it invalid. It's a whole separate reason for making it invalid.
So here's the question, David. When the Torah says lechem oni, that we should be eating the bread of affliction, of poverty, is that defining matzah as far as the mitzvah of matzah is concerned? Meaning, you can have something that's not chametz, and it can't become chametz, but it's not yet matzah for the mitzvah of matzah. Now, there are two psukim in the Torah. One pasuk says, "Ba'erev tochlu matzos." There's another pasuk in a whole different parasha that says, "Lechem oni." Our Gemara is assuming, and it's pretty much a jump here, a leap of faith, that if it's not lechem oni, then not only do you forfeit the mitzvah of lechem oni, but you even forfeit the mitzvah of matzah. The lechem oni defines the matzah. You know, you and I could have said, well, there are two different mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah of matzah. Anything that's not chametz is by definition ipso facto is matzah. And then there's another definition called lechem oni for a mitzvah of lechem oni. So even if I forfeit the mitzvah of lechem oni, because all I have is great matzahs, but nevertheless, I can still obtain the mitzvah of matzah. But the Gemara is assuming no. It's a package deal, what we call Haba Atalia. That when the Torah says lechem oni, it's telling you what the matzah is. And if it's not lechem oni, it doesn't qualify as matzah. Now comes along Reish Lakish, according to Rav Papa, and he goes a step further. If it can't qualify as matzah because it's not lechem oni, then by virtue of the second, it can't qualify as chametz, even if you leave it ferment, whatever that fermentation is. Okay, now Rav Papa made this statement, and Rav Huna was not too happy about it. Eisvei Rav Huna, Brei Rav Yishul Rav Papa, I have a brisa that I think will contradict you. I'm going to prove to you that something that cannot qualify for the mitzvah of matzah would still qualify for chametz. And what's that case? So this is what I call a soggy, dissolved piece of bread. You take bread and you soak it in water. And this is going to be a big issue for people who cannot chew. Right? No, gross. Okay, gross as well. But I mean to say, people are chola who cannot chew. What do we do with them for matzah? And the question is whether were we allowed to soak the matzah in water. So again, there are different levels of soaking. You know, I'm not, you know, just soaking it for a half hour, soaking for an hour, soaking for 24 hours. But in any event, himcho, the word himcho means lerachech. Iman, he bless you. Rachech means you soften it up. And how do you do so? By soaking it in water. So again, you have chametz. Yeah, you got a gezunta piece of chametz. I mean, it's a real chametz, right? And you soak it in water. Ugmal. He got to the point in soaking it that he was able to drink it. In other words, he converted a solid into a liquid. Ein adam yotzi dechovasa v'pesach. If what he put into the water was matzah, he does not fulfill his mitzvah of matzah. We'll see in a second how Rashi interprets this. Right? But I skipped a few words, sorry. Im chametzu anush kares. In other words, so again, what did he put into the water? So the Bryce addresses two scenarios. One scenario is he put a full piece of chametz into the water, and it dissolved, it got full of liquid, and then he drank it down. And the other case is we put matzah into water, and he allowed that to soak in liquid, and then he drank it down. So in the first case, the Bryce says, he violates the Iser Kares of chametz. And in the second case, he does not fulfill his mitzvah of matzah. So Rabbo said, what do you see from this? Does this support the Hekesh as Rav Papa presented it, or does it upschlug the Hekesh? Akshlon, because it's exact opposite of the Hekesh. The Hekesh, according to our Pope, was teaching you that if it doesn't qualify as matzah, then it can't be, it cannot be chametz for kares. And now we see that you could have something which you look at this reality, ask yourself if it's matzah, the answer is no. Ask yourself if it's chametz in a similar reality, just that you had a piece of bread, and the answer is yes, it's chametz, and you violated isur kares. So that's what he spells out here. This is Rav Huda talking to Rav Papa. Ha ha ha. Right, and yet, despite that fact, the chayovim al chimutzo kares. You can't tell me it's haba atali, it's one package deal. Here's a case where the Brisa goes on record as saying that despite the fact that you will not be yotzi the mitzvah of matzah, you still violate the isur chametz. So don't tell me that if he doesn't qualify as matzah for the mitzvah of matzah, then ipso facto it doesn't qualify as chametz. Now, in the meantime, who wakes up from his dozing? That's called itar miloshin hit orerut, right, to wake up. Itar mahu, in other words, the words of the two scholars here somehow penetrated into the ears of Ravidi Barovin. And Oralu, when he says in Dardiki, you're a bunch of children. You know, he calls them children, basically. He's making fun of them. Reish Lakish was not based on some sort of a hekesh. There is no such sort of hekesh that if it doesn't qualify as matzah, therefore it's not chametz. But Reish Lakish is based on a different principle. Mishum, de, because Yayin Shemin and Dvash, Havi lehu may peros. These are juices. And now we turn to Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis. Who may peros ain machmitzim. And may peros can never come to chimutz. And that's what Reish Lakish meant when he said that you're not going to be chayev al chimutz or kares. The reason why you're not chayev al chimutz or kares has nothing to do with the hekesh to matzah. You could have something that does not qualify as matzah, yet it would qualify as chametz for the isur kares. That's going to be the case of Hilcho Gmo. But rather, for a totally different reason, that's called Meperos Einam Machmitzim. Okay, now Rabosai, at this point, we want to present a major machlokas here. Now, this machlokas is between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. The Zayda and the Einikol. And it goes like this. Rashi holds that this whole sugya called Mei Peres Ein Machmitzim is discussing a case where there's no water in the mixture. It's purely Mei Peres. Hence, Rashi holds that if you were to make bread, and instead of making it out of water and flour, you made it out of meperos and flour, it is not chametz. Period. Go ahead and eat it if you like. However, if you added water into the mixture, then Rashi holds it's complete chametz, and you be chayev kares. And that's the shita of Rashi. Then you have Rabbeinu Tam's shita. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. So let me read to you a footnote here, and then we'll see if we have to go through this entire Tosus. See, I don't know. Again, it's a pretty important Tosus. Maybe what we'll do is we'll break it down into smaller pieces, and maybe we'll learn it a little bit today and a little tomorrow. Because there's a very nice sugi coming up about Maseros, which I'd like to discuss with you today. He says the following, that one shita, and we'll try to fill in the names here, is going to say that if there's no water in the mixture, then it's not chametz at all. And if you mix flour with juices, then you're allowed to eat that mixture on Pesach. The other shita says no. when it says may peris eina machmitzim, what it means it cannot create a full-fledged iser chametz and a cheftz of chametz with a chiv kares, but it remains what we call miktas chametz. It's partially chametz, and what that means is that it has the same status as chametz nuksha, and it's also the iser lav. See, he says the following. That Rashi here doesn't say a word about May Peres Ein Machmitzim, but there's a Rashi later on Daf Lamed Vav, and Rashi there seems to indicate that when it says May Peres Ein Machmitzim, what it means is that Ein Machmitzim Chimutz Gomur El Chimutz Ma'at, and has the din of Nuksha, of Chometz Nuksha. Okay. Okay. So now we have the sheet of Rashi later on Daf Lamed Vav, that when Reish Lakish says, Ein Chayoven Al Chimutz Al Kares, he means to say that you're not Chayv Kares, but yet, even in the absence of Mayim, you would be chayav for a lav, and you're eating what's called chametz nuksha, which is asur be isur lav. Okay, that's according to the shita of Rashi. Now, Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, says may peros ein machmitzim klal umutul lolish behen af lechat chila. Now watch what happens here. According to Rabbeinu Tam, if there's no mixture of water, then it's mutter.
So he would say alechilas matzah. He would say alechilas matzah on those.
Well, no, that would be matzah shira. But I'm saying it's mutter to eat it b'torah as matzah shira. It's kosher matzah. It's not. It's not royal mitzvah because it's not like an oni, but it's not chimutz at all. Correct. And that's what it means, may peros ein machmitzim, ein matzmichin klal. Not like Rashi holds, there's a mitzas chimutz, but it's not chomitz gomer, you chayv for a lot, but you're not chayv kores. According to Rabbeinu Tam, may peros ein machmitzim means that that it's not chomitz at all. It's a different entity. Again, it's not matzah because we need lechem oni, but it's not chomitz. Oh. Now Rabbeinu Tam has to ask himself the following question. Reish Lakish on Omer Aleph says, Isa sheni lo shebiayim v'shem rudvash, ein chayoven al chimutzo karetz. So that seems to imply that there is some sort of entity of chametz, which although it wouldn't generate a chiv karetz, correct? But nevertheless it would be chametz. In other words, if you learn the Gemara's language here on Omer Beis, May Paris ain't machmitzim, so you could add the word klal, and you could say there's no chimitz at all, it's not even mixas chimitz. But if you look at Reish Lakish talks about Isa sheni losha b'yayim b'shem u'dvash, and he says, ain chayom al chimitz on kares, implying that it is chametz. Oh. Comes along Rabbeinu Tam, and he says the following. That Reish Lakish is talking about the following reality. Isa sheni losha gam b'mayim v'gam b'mei peros. So he added both fruit juices and water. V'machmitza mi'at, machmas ha'mayim ha'mu'uravim bo. V'alkena ochlo over b'lav. Aval imni losha isa b'mei peros b'lvad b'li mayim mutali ochlo b'pesach hafil l'chadchil. So now let's take a look at the double machlokas in between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. First, let's talk about meperos without mayim. Rashi holds that's called chametz nuksha, and Rabbeinu Tam holds that that's not chametz at all, and it's mutter to eat it. Now we have a second machlokas. What happens if you have meperos together with mayim? Rashi holds that that's chametz gomer with an isur kares. And Rabbeinu Tam holds that that's chametz nuksha. So we have two chumras of Rashi, and really one built on top of the other. And then we have two kulas of Rabbeinu Tam against Rashi. One chumra of Rashi is that Meperus alone is chametz nuksha, you violate a law. And Rabbeinu Tam says, no, Meperus alone without what? Without mayim is not chametz, it's mutal chatchili to eat it. Now we have another machlokas. Rashi would hold that if you add water into the mixture, it becomes chametz goyim with the nisakares. Rabbeinu Tam holds that if you add water to the mixture, then it's only an isolah.
So he said it is chametz.
So therefore, it's chametz, but it's only chametz nuksha according to Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rashi, it's chametz goyim with the nisakares. So if you're talking about matzah that was made with grape juice, that's fine. Why? Because you baked it immediately after you added the juices. You know what I mean? You just kneaded the dough. You didn't wait long enough for any fermentation to begin. And therefore, even according to Rashi, who holds that they pay us alone without mayim could create chametz, albeit chametz nuksha, but here you arrested the process. Now, what happens, according to Rashi, if you allow it to ferment, again in inverted commas, it's not a full fermentation, but it could create chametz nuksha, which is an isolah. So if you're adding, let's say, grape juice to flour, according to Rashi, you have to be extremely careful to make sure it doesn't begin to ferment. You know, bake it immediately. Then it's matzah. Again, it's not matzah for the mitzvah of matzah because it's not lechemoni, it's matzah shira, but at least you can eat it on Pesach. It's not chametz. But again, if you're not absolutely careful according to Rashi, you leave it too long before you bake it, then it becomes chametz nuksha, which albeit is not a lav with karis, but it's a lav bialma. According to Rabbeinu Tam, this situation is a lot more, you know, flexible, meaning if you're adding wine to flour, then according to Rabbeinu Tam, take your time, you know, go to the movies, you know, there's no rush over here. It'll never ever become chametz. That's number one. Number two is what happens if you mix water together with the fruit juices. So Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is that could never become chametz gamur. In the worst case scenario, become what? Chametz nuksha with an isolah. Rashi holds that if you add water to the mixture, it can become chametz gamur, and you'd be chayv karis. So let's read the Tosfos, just at least the first part of Tosfos. Meperos ein machmitze. So what does that mean? Ein machmitze. Because again, Reish Lakish made a comment that if you have a dough that was kneaded with wine, oil, or flour, or honey, he says ein chayom malchimutzo kares. So pashtus hainu lischayev kares. All Reish Lakish is saying is that you're not chayev kares. So if you wait, even if you wait in an hour, you would not be chayv kares. Kidamina behejin, that's the language of Reish Lakish. Ain chayov and al chivutz kares. And here we're going to learn Rashi shitav alav isbe. But even in the absence of water, you'd still, if you leave it long enough, you create some sort of quasi or halfway measure of chivutz, and the nafkamina is then it becomes an isolav of chametz nuksha, and that's going to be Rashi Shita. Avolav ispe. Then those are the words that you want to underline here. Avolav ispe. Ubesorach nami amrinon. And the Gemara is going to say later on, Adaf lamid vav, ein loshin b'yayin shemen udvash, that you should not use these fruit juices to replace water for the purpose of creating a dough. V'yim lash, the Gemara quotes Rabbi Gamliel, who says tisarif miyad, that you have to get rid of it immediately, meaning that it is chametz. No, so the question is, What do you mean? We just finished saying may peres say machmitzim. The answer is a machmitzim to create chametz gomur, but it would be machmitz to create something less than chametz gomur, less than a chiyuv karis, namely a chiyuv malchus. And then he says v'chachamim nami chachamim argue against Reish Lakish v'amri, and they say tochal that if you made this dough with what? With made peros, you're allowed to eat it. Hainu mishum tiyachom l'shomra min achametz. That's only because you made sure to bake it immediately, so it wouldn't ferment at all, and there's not even a beginning of fermentation. Kishar isa, like any isa that was made with water, you have to be very careful to make sure that it doesn't ferment, and you have to put it into the oven immediately. But everybody agrees, whether it's from Gamliel or the Chachamim, that may peros do create chimutz, and that's the shita of Rash. Oh. Now Tosfos says v'kasha. Dula kamon, the Gemara later on at Daf Mem, Maskinon comes to the conclusion. Gabi kimcha de ivshuna. Now what is kivsha de ivshuna? So first of all, we have to know this atavshil, meaning it's something that's being cooked in a pot. What is being cooked in a pot? You have what's called koli, which is a pasuk in Chumash. Kuf lamid yud. Yeah, yeah. It's a little bit similar to what I was going to say, what we call cereal today. In other words, what you do is you take grains and you bake them in the oven. Now, after you bake the grains in the oven, let's say from wheat, for example, then you crush it and make it into a flour. So it's flour made from baked wheat or roasted wheat. So the Gemara says that such a flour could never come to chametz. Correct. Could never ferment. But the Gemara says, nevertheless, that you should not do such a thing. And the reason for that is we're not sure if the wheat was totally baked. Maybe there's part of the wheat that wasn't baked. Aval made peros, but if, for example, you took wheat, you ground it into flour, and then you added made peros into the mixture, shari, that's okay. And you can take this kneaded dough and you can put it into the oven. Why? Because made peros ain't machmitzim. So in contrast to the case of a flour that was made of wheat, which you're not allowed to do, even though again it won't come lidei chimutz because it's already been roasted. Nevertheless, we'll call it dry roasted, right? Nevertheless, in the case of meperos, they were allowing it lechatchila mashpat desharina legamre. Not the way we said in the name of Rashi that meperos ain't machmitzu min l'schay v'lem kares, but there would be a lav of chametz nuksha, but rather meperos ain't machmitzu klal, and there's no chimutz, and you're allowed to do it lechatchila. And therefore, Pirish Rabbeinu Tam, when it says the meperos ain't machmitzu kol ika means legamre, there's no chimutz whatsoever. But again, you know, now Rabbeinu Tam is going to have to explain the diuk of Rashi. What compelled Rashi to say that Meperos does have a partial chimutz is the fact that Reish Lakish only said that ein chayav al chimutz or kares, implying that there is an isa lav, if not an isa kares. So Rabbeinu Tam is going to say that it doesn't have a chiyuv kares in the case where he added mayim. And if he added mayim into the mixture, then he's not chayav kares, but he'll be chayav for averis al lav. So that's the part of Tosfos that I wanted to do. Yeah.
Can
I say, can I trouble anybody for? I'm just only because the shasat chak, a little bit of hot water. I was going to get myself, but there was such a line over there. Anybody want to get the chesed? Just hot water
in the kitchen.
If you have it here in the room, you don't even have to go to the kitchen.
The machine is off the kitchen.
So there's no hot water whatsoever. I see. So what was the line there? I guess people didn't know. It was on.
I don't know. Say chumis.
So we'll take lukewarm water.
Say chumis luksha.
Yeah? Can I get lukewarm water? Just room temperature. You know, only the shasta at the top.
Sure.
Thank you so much, dude. Yeah, what are you saying?
They say chametz nikshe. Is that a little bit of chametz? Or
yes.
Is it potential chametz?
It's part chametz. It means it's something that normally you might not eat.
A little bit pregnant, you know what I mean?
Usually we say she's either pregnant or she's not.
Yeah.
But in chametz, there's this middle category.
There is.
Yeah. In fact,
according to some.
Yeah. It's true that that everybody seems to agree there's something called partial chometz, which is chometz nuksha. We're going to have a whole sugi about what constitutes and qualifies for chometz nuksha. But everybody agrees there is such an entity called chometz.
This is hot now. She was turned on. So
oh, wow. Very hot. Really hit the grand slam. Okay. So again, there is an entity called chometz nuksha. That's not a question. The question only is, what is chometz nuksha? And what we're seeing here in the Machlokes Shem Rashi and Tam is a case where you make a dough with what? With meperos. And the Machlokes Shem Rashi and Rashi is a twofold Machlokes. First without water and second with water. If it's meperos without water, Rashi holds its chometz nuksha. Rabbi Tam says, Eino boli dechim it's klal, it's mutter. And then if you add water, Rashi upgrades it, jacks it up to the level of chametz gomer and yechayv karet. Rabbeinu Tam says you upgrade it to the level of chametz nuksha. Alright, now Rabbosai, we're going to start a sugya of maser. Before we start the sugya, I had mentioned to you there's a Rashi, but I forgot to read it with you inside. It's the last Rashi on Daf Lamed Hey of an Aleph. And Rashi wants to know, what's the deal with dissolving a piece of chametz in water? And that's called himcho ugmo. That's four lines up before the end of the daf. And that was a braisa that was quoted by Rav Huna. And the braisa says he's kind of kares for chametz if it was a piece of leavened bread and he dissolved it in water, but if it was a piece of matzah that he dissolved in water, he cannot fulfill his mitzvah of matzah. So Rashi says here, Eino dem yotzei bo yidei chovaso delav derech achila ka'achilin. Okay. Now, I'm going to present to you the following question, and then I'm going to ask you who asks this question. The question is as follows. Rashi says that if you take matzah and you soak it, you're not yotzi your mitzvah of matzah because that's not the derech achilu. That's not the normal way you eat something. In the same brisa, it says that if it was chametz, you chayv kares for that. Now, wait a second. Didn't we have a whole sugya, if you remember, back on Daf Chafei it was, I think, in which we learned that, let's say, I'll give you the example of chalev chai. You take chalev and you eat it raw. Normally chalev is eaten after you fry it. And he ate it raw, so he's not chayev for that. Why? Because ein derech achilas avakah. So we have a principle that you're only chayev in macholas hasuros for dark avakah, only when it's the normal way. And that we derive even in Isuri Hanah, that the Hanah has to be Kedarko, because when Hanah is derived from Achila, just like Achila requires Kedarko, so to Hanah requires Kedarko. How then can it be Chayiv Kares for what I call dissolved Sagi Chametz? How can it be Chayiv Kares for such a thing? Rashi himself goes on record and he says, Ein Derech Achilas Obekah. No, if it's Ein Derech Achilas Obekah, then by definition you can't be Chayiv Kares. So who asks this question? Berzon. I can't find it anywhere. So I don't know, maybe Michael, in your Gemara you have a footnote on this. It's just a pellet to me. How Rashi could say, Ein derech achilas avakah.
This is the first makar for the box.
This is the first makar for a sick person who can't eat matzah. Can we soak the matzah in order to make sure that he doesn't have teeth to chew it with? So he can swallow matzah, but he can't chew matzah. Then Rashi says, "Ain derech achilasa makar."
That is no problem.
So if you find somebody asking this question, I'd be very helpful. I'd be very happy.
So
about
is the difference in the amount that you're eating? I mean, it's a mashu for chametz and...
Well, a mashu for chametz is a chumrah on a derabbanan level, meaning that derabbanan, well, that's complicated too, because it depends upon, you remember we had a machlok between Rabbi and Rabbi Yochanan, but let's say if it's min b'sheino mino, then even Rav would hold the mashu is only derabbanan otu mino. But in order to be chayiv kares, you have to eat a kezias of chametz. My question is, what if you dip the chametz into water, you soak it in water, and then you eat the chametz? His Rashi says, ein derech achilasa b'kach. That's not the normal way you eat a piece of bread. And yet the Braisa says you have kares for such a thing. So Rashi only applies the principle of ein derech achilasa b'kach to justify why you're not yotzei the mitzvah of matzah if you soak the matzah in water, which itself is bothersome, is troublesome. But okay, I can accept Rashi. Rashi's saying something that's compelling, that this is not the normal way you eat matzah, by soaking it in water. But if Rashi's saying ein derech achilasa b'kach, why don't we apply that to chametz? And we can therefore remove the Isser Kares here.
If your Masifta doesn't say anything, I'm sure my ask God
not nothing. So I don't know, there's something missing here. Let me just try to take a stab at it. I don't know if what I'm going to say has any significance to it. Maybe Rashi is saying that the standards of kedarko for a mitzvah are higher and more demanding, more strict than they are for a violation of a law. So when it comes to a mitzvah, the achila has to be kedarko mamish. In other words, kedarko means this is the classic way that anybody would do the mitzvah. Like, for example, the Gemara has a discussion about fulfilling mitzvahs with your left hand if you're a righty, or vice versa. And it could be that in certain mitzvahs, you're not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah unless you use your right hand. I'm not talking about tefillin shel yad and that business, but let's say, for example, you have a mitzvah of lulav, you have a mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah. What happens if you write it with your left hand?
We had a whole long... Sure.
Yeah, right, we did.
But sometimes the shinui is good.
Well, sometimes shinui is good to avoid a lav. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That as far as the standards of lavim are concerned, if you make a radical shinui, but again, where do we find shinui? The classic case of shinui is on Shabbos. Shabbos has a requirement called Melechus Machshevas. I don't know that achila, as far as Macholas Asuras is concerned, is parallel to Melechus Machshevas. So what I'm suggesting is that if you dissolve something under certain circumstances, it might be considered kedarko, but as far as a mitzvah is concerned, that's not considered a mitzvah. I don't know. Honestly, it's hutnish kentam. This is like a dissolved matzah here, what I just told you. But I'm just trying to figure out how Rashi is gonna undermine the mitzvah, and yet you chayev karetz in the same breath. Now again, according to the Maskana, my question is no question, because the reason why you're not yotzi matzah is for a different reason. It's not called lechem oni. But I was asking on the Havamina, the Gemara. The Gemara and the Havamina thought that the reason why you're not yotzi the mitzvah of matzah is because Rashi says ein derech leochol b'kach. And maybe Rashi would still maintain that even l'maskana. The Gemara says that as far as meperos are concerned, so meperos is not considered lechem oni, and therefore you're not yotzei the mitzvah of matzah. Although it is, it might, you have to know whether it could come lidei chimutz or not come lidei chimutz. But in the case of the Braisa and the Havamina, Rashi says ein derech Now, I'll just read the Rashi one more time, just to make sure I'm reading it correctly. Rashi says, the lab derech achila ka'achile. That if he dissolves it in water, that's not considered derech achila. So I don't know. The Gemara finally says that what? That in a case of... in the case of meperos, for sure you're not going to be yotzi the mitzvah of matzah because it's not considered what? Lechem on. Okay. So we'll think about this question and see if we can find any literature on it. I'm sure I'm not the first one to notice this Rashi. Now, the Mishnah goes ahead and lists a bunch of cases where you either can be yotzi the mitzvah of matzah or you cannot be yotzi the mitzvah of matzah. And the first case on the list is what's called d'mai. D'mai is only osur b'rabbanan. You buy tvua, you buy grains from the Amoritz. You don't know if he was mafresh maser or not. And the rabbanan said, although rov Amoritz maser, even though we can rely on the rov, and most ignorant people or people who aren't so strict about observance, they'll certainly be mafresh maser. But nevertheless, we have to worry about the miut, about the minority. And that's called d'mai. What happens if he takes d'mai and he makes matzah out of it and he eats it for the mitzvah of matzah? Has he been yotzei? Does he have to take another matzah to replace it? The answer is no, he was yotzei. He fulfilled his mitzvah of matzah. Now we're going to learn later on that you can only be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah with something that potentially could be chametz and you'd violate the iser chametz, but doesn't overlap with any other iser. If there's another iser involved, then it cannot be matzah. So now the Gemara is going to ask the following: D'mai is osur, albeit midrabbanan. So the Gemara says, D'mai holo chazile. Chazile means it's not permissible, and you violate the iser of d'mai. No, if you violate the iser of d'mai, how can you possibly fulfill the mitzvah of matzah? The rule is you can only fulfill the mitzvah of matzah if there's no iser, there's no violation involved. So, for example, we're going to soon learn that if you're not talking about d'mai but rather tevel, which means that you certainly know it's tevel, then you can't be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah with tevel because it has an additional iser of tevel. When I say additional, I mean on top of chametz if it would have fermented. Now, the Pnei Yoshua is not happy here. He doesn't understand the Gemara's question. D'mai is only osur midrabbanan. We want to know if he's yotzei a mitzvah d'oraisa of matzah. And if that be the case, how could it be that this isur d'rabbanan of d'mai would, according to the Gemara's question, would undermine the mitzvah d'oraisa of matzah? That's the Pnei Yoshua's kash. So before I tell you his radical answer, and he reinterprets this whole sugya, I want to tell you what the other mafarshim learn. They understand the following: that even though d'mai is only osur mirabbanan, ein ze isur d'rabbanan mitzad atzmo. This is the marsha. El gozer bo chachamim lachshosh li isur d'oraisa shel tevel. V'lachein avi sofek. Tevel sofik maase. V'alkeina reze kidovra osu min haTorah. The Marsha understood that even though d'mai is the Rabbana, what the Rabbana was saying is don't rely on Rov. And if the Rabbana are telling us not to rely on Rov, then it becomes Tevel Doraisa. So again, if you eat d'mai, I wouldn't say that you violated Issa Doraisa, because at the end of the day, we don't know if it's Tevel, if it's not Tevel. But the Rabbana are defining it as tevel, and that's what the Gemara is bothered by. How can he yotzei the mitzvah of matzah with d'mai? D'mai is tevel, albeit the rabbanan, but the rabbanan is called tevel.
Does the Marsha not hold a rov?
Well, way before the Marsha, the Gemara doesn't hold a rov. Meaning, Chazal instituted isa d'mai when the Torah says you can rely on rov. What the rabbanan did is they're going to freeze the operation of rov. And instead of relying on the rov, we're going to assume that this particular amoritz belongs to the miut, the 20% of the population of amoritzim that don't take off maaser, and therefore we're going to considered as tevel. So what we have here says the Marsha is tevel derabbanan. The Rabbanan, we're gonna suspend Rove, and what we're left with is Tevel. Ah, if it's Tevel, now you have another Iser. And on the side that you suspend the Rove, and you don't rely on Rove, then what kind of Iser Tevel do you have? If you would just bracket Rove.
Doraisa.
And therefore the Doraisa of Tevel is gonna undermine the mitzvah of Matzah, so the Gemara thinks at the beginning. The Gemara later on is gonna change its mind and say, no, Tamai is only a Chumra. The Rabbanan prohibited it, but they never considered it as Tevel Doraisa. But we're not up to that yet. At this point, we think it's Tevel Doraisa. But the Pnei Yoshua can't accept this. So the Pnei Yoshua claims that the whole Gemara here is addressing a whole different issue. And what is that? He went ahead and he ate matzah shel Dmai, but in his cupboard, he has matzah which is not Dmai. And the issue is, b'di'evet, if he ate the matzah shel tmai, does he have to eat the matzah which is definitely not tmai? Do we force him to eat a second matzah? And here's where the Gemara has an objection. The Gemara says that a Mishnah says, ochal tmai yotze yidecho vasa. What is the implication? He doesn't have to open the closet and take out another matzah. That's what the Gemara can't tolerate. The Gemara says the following. The man took Dmai. Chachamim say, maybe, perhaps, this is Tevel. He did not take off Maaseh. Then at least, at the very least, you should require him, if he has the access to another Matzah, to avoid the problem of Dmai. That's the way the Pnei Yoshua learns this.
Does he make a bracha like this much on the second one?
So let's think about this. According to the Pnei Yoshua, what the Gemara is asking is, how can we not require of him to eat the matzah which he knows is certain? Yeah, so here we would apply the principle, Michael's right, of suffering brachas lahakel. That since we don't know whether it's tevel, because again, according to Pnei Yeshua, the whole issue of Dmai and matzah comes down to the following. Is it tevel or is it not tevel? Well, the Torah said it's not tevel because the Torah says you can rely on Rove. So now the Rabbanan are telling you, no, let's be worried about the suffering, but it only becomes a suffering. In the worst case scenario, it's a suffering. It's enough of a suffering to require you, says the Gemara, to eat a vaday matzah. But Michael's right, you're not going to make a bracha on matzah. Okay. So again, before the Pnei Yoshua, what the Gemara is assuming is that the Rabbanan suspended the operation of Rove with regard to Tevel, hence Dmai is Tevel. And what the Rabbanans are doing is they're creating an Iser Tevel Da'oraisa by suspending Rove, and that should undermine your mitzvah of Matzah, Azoif Chet the Gemara, that's the Gemara's cash. So the Gemara says no. Kevon di Iboy Mafkir Linichse, Vahavi Ani, Vi Ochel, Be'ochel Dmai, Hashtanami, Chazile. The Gemara is coming up with a brand new concept or definition of Chazile. Right, you just said, holo Chazile, that was Gemakshon. And the Gemara is answering, no, it's Chazile. Why is it Chazile? Because I can come up with a scenario in which you're allowed to eat Dmai. How would I come up with a scenario in which you're allowed to eat Dmai? So the Gemara answers, Kema di boy mafkir l'nichse. What does mafkir mean? Make it hefker. Nichse, he can take all his possessions, his entire asset, all his assets, and declare them hefker. At that moment, he becomes what? An ani. And an ani is allowed to eat the mind. So we're looking at this person who might be sitting on the top of the earth. You know, he's the richest guy in diamonds, you know, in the diamond district. And yet, he's an ani. What do you mean he's an ani? Because he potentially could become an ani. And in the Gemara's language, that's Iboy Mafkir L'Nechse. And as a result, he can be yotze with Matz of Dmai. Why? Because he could become an ani. He has the potential in his back pocket to become an ani. Rabosai, let's get it straight. Was he Mafkir L'Nechse?
No.
He likes the mitzvah of Matz, but not so much. You know what he's saying? He's not going to be mafkir his nechassim in order to eat this matzah shel dmai. But it's still called chazim. So this is where the briskers come up with their understanding of what's called chefta. You've heard of that? In other words, this chefta is not a chefta di sura. A chefta di sura means that you can never eat it. You know, if it's nevela, it's always nevela. You can't take the nevela out of the nevela. No matter how hard you squeeze it, you can't take the nevela out of the nevela. It's nevela, vigamaru, and that's the end of the story. But dmai, you can, at least as far as one category of people, it's not called dmai, and anyone potentially could join that group. If he's machir is the chassid, that's the group called the aniyim, and therefore you can't say that this heft is awesome. So when the Torah says that in order to get a substance for matzah, I need to clear it of any other isur, that means that the matzah itself has to be clear of any isur. The Gemara is saying that dmai is clear of any isur. And how do we know that the dmai itself in Hefta is clear of any isur? From the fact that there are certain individuals, and anyone could join that group, who would be allowed to eat dmai. You can't tell me that's asur and then tell me it could become buta. Now there is something in halacha where you could have something that's asur and you apply what's called a matir. Like, for example, if you take my susheni outside of Yerushalayim and you bring it into Yerushalayim, that's matir. So then you might be tempted to say that isur is an isur gavra, not an isur chefta. Because an isur chefta, you can't be matir. But I have a problem with this. And this question passes my mind once a year on Erev Rosh Hashanah. And that's called Hataras Nedarim. Because the Gemara says that a neder is an isur chefta. And yet you can be matir and neder. So you're going to have to say that somehow the Hataras Nedarim changes the neder itself. Not it changes the object, but it removes the neder. And the mela, the object is mutter. But something that's also can never become mutter. But in the case of Dmai, I'll prove to you that there's nothing inherently also, and that even after the Rabbanon said, let's not rely on Rov, because the Amoris maybe belongs to that 20% category that they weren't mafish masim, but nevertheless, the Rabbanon never called it Teva. The Rabbanon just said, stay away from it. Be mafish, truvas, and maisers. It's a chovas afrasha, but it's not an isur chefta. And I'll prove it to you from the fact that an ani can eat it. And not only that, anyone could potentially, even an asher, become an ani. By the way, is there any other category of individuals who are allowed to eat dmai besides aniyim? Soldiers. This is interesting. So let's look at the next line, and then David, I'll answer your question. Machilin is not a neem dmai, ve es ha achsanya dmai. This is a mission in the third parak of dmai. And the mission establishes that achsanya, these are soldiers that are away from their homes, and they eat as guests in people's houses. You remember we discussed this with Rav and the Bnei Mechuzah, and after he got rid of the chametz and all that. So they have a definite need to eat food. They you know, they're on the run. And they're soldiers in the army, so for the sake of these soldiers, we're going to allow them to eat dmai. So we have two categories of people who can eat dmai. One is an ani, and the other is an achsanya, a soldier. David?
So, as you just said, if an ani or a soldier can't eat dmai, that proves that the dmai is not...
Inherently awesome.
So why do we have to come on to the rich person? Could be an ani.
That itself is, you know, you could have something that's awesome to you, yeah, and it's inherently awesome, but it's not awesome to me. Let's say a neder. You're awesome to the neder, so this piece of bread is awesome to you, but it's mutter to me. So the fact that an ani is allowed to eat dmai, that wouldn't prove anything. It could be the Rabbanon only created the isur dmai for ashirim and not for aniyim. But as far as ashirim is concerned, it's inherent in the chefta. So the Gemara says, no, the asher himself is allowed to eat dmai, if only he will be mafkir his nechassim. So let's just read one more line and then we'll call it a day. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna Tana. In fact, on this issue, Beit Shammai Omrim Ein Machilus Aniyim Dmai, Beit Shammai understood that the Rabbanan completely suspended the Rov, and now it becomes the Rabbanan Tevel De'oraisa, and that's going to be Aser even for the Aniyim. It's an all-inclusive Iser. But Ubeisil omri machile, Ubeisil say that you're allowed to, if you're an ani or if you're a member of this Afsanya group of the local militia, you're allowed to eat. You're allowed to eat. My we paskin in a machlokes between Beisil and Beishamer, like who? Like Beishilin. And if we pass like Beisil, then machilin esaniim t'mai besafsanyin t'mai. Hence, t'mai, since it's anyone could be, potentially become, I don't know if anyone could become a soldier, that I don't know, it might depend on your age bracket, but anyone could potentially become an ani if he's mafkir, he's nechas. So next time that you're stuck with matzahs t'mai, maybe you want to just be mafkir. I don't know, I'm just kidding.
Is there a reason that Rashi uses the feminine?
Everyone should have a great thing.
Feminine word for the soldiers?
Say again?
Is there a reason that Rashi's calls them chaylot, feminine?
No, chaylot. Chaylot means the divisions. Because they weren't individual soldiers, they were like, plugot, don't we call I was in a plugot, we were 101 soldiers. And the mafakeh, the commanding officer, only remembered one name. And even that name he couldn't get straight. I was then from a Rebbe in Shalavim, so he didn't remember my name, but he remembered Shalavim. So when we were marching, and he wanted to know if I could hear his voice, I was the 101st person. I carried up the rear, because they gave me two guns to carry that weighed probably more than I weighed. So I heard Shalavim. You got that, Shalavim? I said, yeah, I heard you. Oh, we can march on. 101. Right. Okay, then I'm going to say we'll stop here.
Had a wonderful trip.
Yeah, and where are you?
I'm going south this week. My oldest grandson is being installed as an officer in the Air Force. So I'm going to a base.
And are you going to be sleeping there in the south? I'm going to stay